Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Podcart's Life is Like a Box of Records podcast. My name is Helena Rifai. Occasionally, we bring in special guests to speak about the records that have soundtracked their lives so far. This week's guest is Em Woods. Hello.
Hello, darling.
How are you?
I'm pretty fab under the circumstances of being a bit sick.
Yeah.
But rocking through it.
And you're off on tour next week.
Yeah, so that's, I'm just like taking it easy. Got some Oreos here, courtesy of you, thanks. keep me going, get some sugars.
Is there ever a kind of nervous anticipation about going on tour?
Not really for the show, like the actual show itself, more for like, this time I've got regular there organising the tour, which is the first kind of tour I've had organised for me. It's always been me that's like setting up them all up myself, so it's been great to kind of take a step back from that, because I cannot express how much I hate having to like organise it, drive it, make it sure everything happens, plus play the shows. It's not fun. But so I'm excited now that like regular have kindly organised this tour, but also then it's got those like other things, whereas when I organise it and it's really shite, or like the tickets, like ticket sales are like a crazy thing sometimes, because you never know, especially like, I mean, Glasgow you can get amazing gigs every night, but like I know kind of further out I don't know those scenes as well, and I've played in all those places before, so it's exciting and hopefully people come, but then it's just that added pressure that somebody else has put that on, and you better get lots of the happy people, or even just some happy people at the show.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be when they come.
See, I've, like with these Life is Like a Box of Records podcasts, I've asked you to pick six songs that have soundtracked your life so far, because yes. Obviously hopefully you've got a bit of time left.
Fingers crossed.
And yours are really old school, which is really lovely. But we'd done an interview before and you kind of explained that is very much your taste. You're into old school classic artists. So we might as well get into this, and we'll talk about more about your record and other things. Beach Boys.
Yes.
Now, out of all the songs that you could have picked, why this one?
So I picked I Just Wasn't Made for These Times solely because, not only like from the slight relation to it, obviously that's a kind of thing that everyone says, like, oh, I should have been born in this era. But not just that, just I feel like this sums up Brian like in a song, because like his whole like life and career and well-being is kind of summed up in this one song. I feel like not just only the title, but like the subjects and stuff that he touches on. I mean, I definitely relate to that, as a lot of people probably will if they've heard the song. But yeah, I just, my love for Brian and his songwriting is all like intertwined with like how he is as a person, and like I think how his thoughts work. Obviously, I've not got an insight into Brian's brain, but from what I've seen, like documentaries and like even him speaking about his like how he goes about his life and how just how he like paves his way in the world. I think that this song like sums that up completely. And although I would have maybe went for God Only Knows, which was kind of the first one that really properly got me like, what is this? I feel like this one was maybe a bit truer once I actually found, like, once I actually got, like, delved into the Beach Boys and Brian and those beautiful sounds.
And I've been trying hard to find the people that I won't leave behind. They say I got brains, but they ain't doing me no good. I wish they could. Each time things start to happen again, I think I got something good going for myself, but what goes wrong?
You mentioned there about some of the stuff that he wrote about and you it relates to you and so on. So what are some of those things that you kind of find an affinity with?
I feel like he is constantly up with, like, battle not only with self but also, I guess, with, like, everything and everyone around him, because he was... Not that I would be comparing not that I'm comparing that to him, because he's obviously a giant success and, like, he's Brian Wilson. But, like, just the kind of, like, how he wanted to constantly expand and constantly, like, push further and, like, getting those kind of maybe people that were just a bit scared or like, and his bandmates and stuff like that, and his record label all kind of, like, pushing that back to be like, he was kind of fighting the pop world and, like, the kind of, like, general hits and the structures that had to fall into it. And also on the bigger scheme, he was kind of fighting the making music for money, because he wanted to make music how he wanted to make music, and then it, like, expanded further, and that's when the band kind of, like, freaked out and they wanted to tour the songs that they knew could sell, whereas he wanted to make the music that was right for him. And it does, like, there's now, like, so many, like, pop hits and one-hit wonders, and, like, the industry is so, like, immediate in the now, and once that, like, 5 minutes has passed, it's on to the next thing, and it's I guess it's, like, scary to kind of try and keep up with that. And I don't know, I don't really feel like I fit into that bracket of music anyway, but yeah, he got fame from, like, churning out these bangers, but I guess which are still amazing, I still love those songs as well, but once he kind of, like, got really into, like, orchestral arrangements of pop songs and stuff, it was just, yeah, it was wild, mind blown.
And is that something that you've ever delved or considered, is doing something that's a bit more kind of accompanied with you know, more classical instruments than the orchestral side of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that it's more accessibility, like, there is a lot of talented musicians in Glasgow and stuff, but then once you're kind of asking people to play, especially when they're classically trained and they can make a lot of money from, and also, like, the kind of, like, orchestra, I love the sound of the instruments, but a lot of the time it's, like, a lot of complicated stuff, whereas if you kind of ask a classical player to bring it back down to these, like, maybe still not so simple, but, like, poppier kind of stuff, it's hard to maybe ask someone to do that when it's, like, really for the gratitude of you, not for what they want to do. And especially when you can't pay them, or can't pay them that much, it's hard to kind of get into that, like, getting those people. So I guess, like, I've experimented with that and trying to get, like, sounds from guitars that are kind of, like, so, like, feedbacky guitars, or, and, like, stuff that kind of sounds more string-like and not too much guitar-like. So, and with some of the songs, like, I've got, like, I just, like, got bigger floor toms and stuff to kind of make, like, timpani sounds. And, yeah, so I try to experiment with that as much as I can, but within my own means.
We'll go on to our next one. So this is My Mum's Idol, so it's quite nice. This is the first time anyone's ever played Elvis on our podcast, so I'll need to tell her. So Elvis and, I mean, Burning Love, he changed so much in music. Yeah. And what's your kind of first memory of hearing Elvis?
We are sat in the back. Now I've got four sisters, so we were sat in the back of my dad's like Chrysler minivan thing, and like he played this song, and I was sat in the very, very back, so I was like right next to the speakers, and I was just like, what is this song? And I was like shouting to my dad in the front, like, Dad, what's this song? 'Cause you kiss and leave me lying, like the sweet song of a choir, and you light my morning sky, burn love. He's like, oh, it's whatever, but I can't remember the specific song order, but it was a gold CD. It was like Elvis Gold or something like that, 50s, like 50 songs of Elvis. But I didn't know that at the time, so I was like, yeah, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's Elvis Presley, King of Rock. And then I was like, yeah, cool. And then the next song came on, I was like, what? But what is this? Like, what? Who is this? And he's like, yeah, it's Elvis Presley, and so on for a few songs. And he's like, Morgan, it's an Elvis CD. But I just, like, it blew my mind. I don't know. It was just, I heard so much, like, my sisters were all into pop and listening to, like, Radio 1 and, like, Capital FM. If that was, I don't even know how long they've been about, but whatever the equivalent, like, real radio and stuff like that went. And I just never got excited about any of those songs, but, like, Elvis was probably one of the first people I was like, yes. I think because they had, like, a lower voice, and I've got a lower voice, and, like, if I try and sing Mariah Carey, it's not going to do me any favours. So, like, I related more to him, his voice and his kind of sounds, and than I did to female singers that I should be kind of trying to sing along with, or you would say should be trying to sing along with.
And how do the older members of your family react to your music?
My gran loves it. She always, but I always like take her through demos, and then it's like just me like sitting playing in the living room with a band or whatever, and she's like, "I can't hear what you're saying." But like obviously, I'm like, "Well, that's because it's not recorded yet." I was like, "You're getting exclusives here," but she gets really excited about it. She comes along to gigs and stuff, and my granny Maureen, she's kind of the same, but she's not been to a gig, but she. She's always on Facebook, like being, like commenting all the M Wood stuff. Like this, you'll see it and like, "You're beautiful, love you, granny." I'm like, "How are you on Facebook? What's going on here?" But yeah, they like it. I think it took a while because I was their non musical family. All of them. I don't think there's anyone that really plays. My gran told me that there was a bagpiper in the family. But I don't know about that. He was supposedly famous, but I don't know about that. But yeah, no one else did music or like were really that into it other than my sister. She did like stage front or stage, I don't know what it's called, some like when you do like musicals and that on stage. But I never even really started music until I was in my fourth year at school. Yeah, I took it from there, and I was just like started learning by myself. The curriculums in school aren't that really great for learning actual instruments and stuff. But yeah, no, I just took it from there, and then got like I bought a ukulele when I was in Orkney for one summer, and then I got like a wee keyboard, and I just started like working things out from ear. And then eventually got a guitar when I was like 18, but it took me a while to even like. because I could semi-play other instruments, I was like, I don't want to go back to learning again. But I really did, because I wanted, like, you can't lift a keyboard about and plug, like, if you've not got power outside, you can't just, like, go and take it anywhere you want. So I wanted to be movable.
Where did you grow up?
Clackmannanshire. So I was kind of, like, dotted all over, like, sometimes Tullabuddy or Alloa or Tillicoutry as well. But, like, in my dad's house in Tillicoutry, there was, like, a quarry and stuff behind it. So I was, like, very much an outdoorsy child, so I never really sat in too much. And he got us, like, quad bikes when we were younger, so I was always just, like, doing mental shit out up on the hill. Like, yeah, I was like, a wee boy child. My dad came up one time with I was trying to dig a jump for my quad bike with a shovel, and it was, like, digging into gravel, which made no marks really at all. And then he came up with a digger and dug, like, the biggest hill I've ever seen. Obviously, I was a child, but I was very much outdoors. So I started music very late, I think.
So this is an interesting one, Jerry Lee Lewis, and someone I wouldn't have, I guess, you stereotype people, and I hate doing that now because I think everyone's got, like, something that is completely unpredictable. But I mean, was he part of that music that you were kind of listening to as a child in your childhood?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, My family weren't too music orientated, but they always had, like, compilation albums, like Dreamboats and Petticoats when that kind of started coming out. And, like, just my granddad had, like, this old jukebox in his living room. It was really cool because you could just, like, pick whatever. So it was just all, like, weird, like, CDs. And like, there were so many songs that I could have picked. But this, I picked, I think, Jerry Lee Lewis because I was just one, you know, like family parties. It was just like when this came on, it was always like such an excitement.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, now honey. I've changed my mind. This love is fine.
Like, my papa, like, on my mum and my stepdad's side, he had, like, this poofy that was, it was just, like, this old, like, old couch, and, like, this poofy that I used to, like, when this, we used to play this song, like, me and my sisters, and, like, jump up on the poofy and, like, just run around all the chairs. I don't know, it was great fun. It was great fun, but yeah, just like, it's just family parties were the best when you were younger because you did not know what was going on. Everyone just got, like, louder and happier. I know why that is now. Bevy. A lot of bevy at family parties. You're just, like, running about like, oh, he's happy, he's having a great time. Oh, he's sleeping now. Oh, had a great time.
No, he's pissed.
Yeah, it's great.
You've said, you know, all these old school classic artists have influenced your music. What have been some of the kind of hardest times for you as a musician?
I mean, I guess, like, I'm self-managed, self-releasing and stuff like that. So it's quite tough just, like, keeping not just the momentum up, because I'm trying not to, like, focus too much on that, even though I know, like, to make a career as a musician you have to be, like, a kind of like a constant, especially if you're releasing your own stuff, because once you're quiet for a year, it's hard to kind of, I guess, push yourself back up. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's like, it's, as much as it's an ongoing struggle, it's great. It's great because I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't. It's tough to, like, kind of fund yourself constantly, and then I did that pledge campaign. That pledge went under, so that was not a great time because, like, during that time, I we did the pledge campaign to do a record, and then we recorded some stuff, and then that just like kind of awakened me to be like, this is not the music that I initially wrote, or like how I thought it was going to be sounding. It was kind of like, this is how I've been playing it for so long, so it kind of stuck. But then when I got the things back, it was like very underwhelming. And then I kind of like disbanded my band, and then the pledge thing went under. So it was, but then I got like a new band, and I've kind of been I've been working with lots of different people. So yeah, it's tough to kind of keep that like all, because I'm very not an organised person.
I know that.
Very not organised one bit. But I mean, I've seemed to keep it together with the band stuff. Yeah, it's just kind of like keeping that like drive up to be like, if you're not doing it, no one else is doing it for you. So like the writing and stuff always is nice to do, and the recording is great to do, but the things around that, like organising tours and shows and organising a band to get together, because I change my band all the time. Well, I've got like 3 different players on each instrument that kind of know the stuff, so that I can always, I'm never restricted of which shows I want to play. I always say yes and then kind of figure out a band through that.
But that's kind of representative of who you are within the music community as well, it's fair to say. I think that I've mentioned this to you before, in that there's a lot of different communities, and I guess some people call them cliques within Scotland, but you are very much your own person, and you like to go between all of those places.
Yeah.
Has that always been something that you've been conscious of, and you don't want to kind of restrict yourself to certain groups?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever like naturally, like, I feel like I was kind of the same in school as well. I had different like pockets of friends, because I don't know, like I've never like not been like accepted into one, but I've never been like around people where I've been like, this is where I'm gonna, like, these are my like best of pals and this is where I'm gonna stick. I've got like really great friends kind of dotted around that, and like in all those like kind of pockets of people that are in kind of groups in Glasgow, I kind of get on with everybody, so I don't feel the need to kind of stick to one, because then you're letting yourself down a wee bit with that, because like there's like so many amazing musicians, and if you just like stick yourself to one group, it kind of excludes the rest, and also like the different sounds and the different like way people dresses and stuff like that. There's no point in like just putting yourself into one, because it's too maybe restrictive.
Yeah. Now we're coming up for a legend.
Here
Dolly.
We go.
And so who is now, as I would say now, has become this cult figure with a new generation as well. Yeah. And what does Dolly mean to you?
Dolly Parton, my mum, we used to, just anytime we were in the car, my mum only had a Dolly Parton CD. And like, I feel like just her storytelling was unreal. Like, she's obviously this like flamboyant, like you couldn't miss her, but also like all her songs are just so like relatable, even though they're kind of the older country spin, and like the culture or difference, you can't obviously relate to that kind of bit, but just every song that she's kind of got has got something that like anyone from anywhere in the world can be like, yeah, I get that as well. Although like she's obviously this like country darling and like worldwide sweetheart. Yeah, I think she just like, there's just no real, like, she doesn't give any bad things out, I don't think. I've yet to see anyone that's disgruntled with her or any bad like press that she's this bad person. And I've watched like some documentaries of how she was when she was younger, and her speaking about just like you have the biggest hair that gets like people noticed, and then you can actually like spread a message. And I think that's like a cool way to be, I think.
Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing and making fun of me and my coat of many colors.
What was it about Coat of Many Colors out of her back catalogue that sticks with you?
Yeah, I mean, that was on the CD. And, like, that was one of the ones that I knew all the words to. I think the story of it's, like, so sweet. And, like, I guess because my mum was the one that was, like, playing the CDs, it was that kind of, like, mother and instinct of, like, this poor family. Not that I was poor, like, poor, probably, like, pretty middle class, like. But she... Like, it was about this poor family that our mum would just, like, all any rags that they could find, she sewed it together to make a coat of many colours because it was getting cold outside. And then, like, all the people, like, all our friends at school slagged her for having, like, this scraggly coat that was all... But it was just this, like, unique coat that nobody else had that your mum also made for you. So it was, like, just a, like, pure heartwarming... story. I don't know, I just when I heard that for the first time, and obviously it was on repeat, that was like one of the songs that just like always stuck with me.
So you've referenced a couple of times now about the stories within songs and so on. Is that something that you kind of try to apply to your own songwriting?
I hope that comes through anyway. I think there is like some create, like even some amazing Scottish storytellers out there, like Eddie Reader. If you haven't ever been to see her live, she has got like, she just like as if when she sings and she'll tell a story, but so sing the story, like she'll be like, yeah, no, I went to this party in this tenement flat. Then she'll be like, she'll sing a song that somebody was or that was playing in the background or something. Then she'll go on to like this, but it's like you can actually like vision. Being there, I would hope that I could write that well, but I think I'm like expanding my like vocabulary and also like how I write songs, because when you first kind of start to write songs, you write them very linear and like very much about self. So I'm trying to like also put together my thoughts to be able to put that into a song instead of just like saying the literal as well, because I can think those things, but it's difficult to when you actually like go to write down a, like lyrics and stuff for it. So I kind of just take notes of like what's going on all the time around me and stuff, or like things that I think, and then take them from there. But it is all hopefully I tell good stories.
For your call, but the call had never come. And the voices inside my head speaking words I never could. It's my party, oh, you're not invited.
Angel Olsen, who is fast becoming one of the most talked about and just stunning performers. You've chosen an older song, and why her?
I don't, like, there's just something in Angel Olsen's voice that, like, is, like, solely unique in the emotion, and, like, you can, from, without even saying a word, you can say how that song, like, how she's feeling or how that, what that song is about without even actually, like, looking into the words. Again, her, like, she kind of started out, like, just her and her guitar, or I don't know solely if it was just that, but that's the kind of thing I can remember hearing her stuff, like Acrobat, and like it was just her in this like insanely haunting voice. And then she started like releasing kind of more like full band songs, and then she went to the kind of like poppy, the My Woman album, which is still full of bangers, but it was like maybe a bit further away from what I would know Angel Olsen to be. And she's got her new album out, which is unreal. But yeah, I picked a song off an older one because I think like the this song is truly one of the most beautiful songs of the world. Absolutely smashing it. Like she's like all her songs that she's especially her earlier stuff is like so beautiful. It keeps obviously like it's getting better, but the like I guess the arrangements and stuff for, and like the kind of sounds and stuff that she's got in her earlier albums are, because our new one's set like kind of not really electronic, but it's kind of got more electronic instruments, where our earlier stuff was just like really like stripped back acoustic, or just even like with just natural instruments from the band. But yeah, like just her and her words and her voice just like encapture you to like a different place.
We should talk about your record. And you've kind of stuck to your kind of dialect as well, and you've called it "It's My Party." Yeah. What you accompanied it with a film which was really beautifully shot and had a kind of real texture to it, and so on, and it stuck. It kind of was faithful to the aesthetic that you create with your music and what you talk about as well. For you, I mean, can you sum up what it was that you were trying to get across with this album, or what you were trying to channel?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to, like I said before, like kind of touch on like the arrangements of it, because I totally like scrapped the whole ideas of kind of everything else. The only one song, I guess, off that was Lullaby, which I kind of kept. I never really introduced fully to the band anyway, so it was kind of left semi-untouched to its original kind of state, with other things obviously added on top of what I first had. But that was maybe the easiest one to record, because it was like from my ideas from the beginning. There was no like kind of bleeding in from other places.
We were friends before you came along. We were friends before you brought that gun. I will shut the door before you the cost, and we didn't know your soul was lost. Finding it hard to hear what you once said. Now I can't forget what's in my
But the record, it was tricky to get where it was until we actually got into the studio, and then like things just started to kind of fall into place, because it was really tricky to kind of pull it all back from what it had become, and then to bring it back to like kind of nothing, and then build up from there again. I wanted to kind of like put across like a true sound of what I heard the songs to be, and like the same kind of vibe, even though like some of the songs are kind of the first track, Mother Doesn't Love You, is kind of like a tune you might like hear in like a Tarantino film or something like that. It's I listened to Ennio Morricone quite a bit, and he is like, I just like love all the wee sounds that he's got in it that like, they just like totally add texture and like a vibe to a song that like might be the simplest of things, but it just creates this mood. So I wanted to kind of have that across the board. Of course, it's a record, but yeah, it was trying to like tie them all in together from where they had become to where they had been, and then like totally pulling that back to kind of making these records on. I never like had too much like different instruments and stuff in it. It was just kind of the generic two guitars, bass, drums, a little bit of like organ, and some brass. But I wanted to like experiment with all the guitar sounds and kind of get all the sounds right before I like hit record. I wanted to leave very little to edit in, because once you kind of, I know you've got to like trust the producer that you're working with, but I thought like if I get all the sounds for everything right and begin with, it's not like I'm handing this thing that I've worked on over to someone else to like change all that much. So yeah, I went in with that, and with the film I did the same, like kind of got all the shots and stuff right.
No, it's a stunning record, and I often say this, it's really nice to have something that's like a body of work. It flows really nicely and it fits together, and you can kind of really see that the people that you've worked with have invested in your sound, and it's like they've let you breathe as a musician. It's not them trying to put their stamp on things, which has been really, really good. Speaking of unbelievable voices, you've introduced me to Twain, who's your last pick, and yes. Who fits really nice within this kind of mix of people that you have, and yeah, so I once people kind of hear this, then they'll kind of understand maybe why you've picked it, but why this song, and how did you discover Twain?
Pretty sure it might have been like one of those I think it was maybe like Discover Weekly on Spotify or something like that. I go kind of through phases of like I'll make a playlist, and then I'll like listen to this playlist until everyone around me wants to murder me, and then I'll be like, okay, maybe I should make a new playlist. So I'll go like Discover Weekly, or because there's sometimes you get really, really great ones, and I'm glad I did with this track. This was the first track I ever heard by Twain, and then it took me onto his album Rare Feeling, which is definitely a rare feeling.
In the morning, getting stronger.
it was meant to be. But they won't tell you there was once a time when we all lived that way.
It's maybe one of my favourite albums of the world, for sure. Pet Sounds is obviously top of the list, but Twain, yeah, he's just, I think he's like from like San Francisco or somewhere in California, and I don't think he's got too much like crazy fan base or whatever. Not that that makes any difference, because if you hear the record, it is out of this world. Like, every song on the record is like so beautiful, and like the instruments, again, kind of the Angel Olsen-esque of like more is less, and just his like melodies and his words are so beautiful, and his voice is like unreal, but like just the whole package.
Well, thank you for coming in to speak to me. So just for people that are coming, so where are you going to be playing?
Oh, yes. I'm going to be playing this Saturday, which is the 26th of October. Yeah, October. In Stereo in Glasgow. And then the next night, which is Sunday the 27th, I'm in Dundee. Then the 28th in Edinburgh, which is Monday at the Voodoo Rooms. And then the 1st, I'm in Inverness at the Tooth and Claw, and then Aberdeen at the Tunnels on the 3rd. So, yeah, I've got 5 dates, and I think you can probably access it easily from, like, regular website or
Facebook. We'll put a link so that people can find out. But thank you so much.
No, truly, thanks much.
And yeah.
Also for the Oreos, yes.
You're welcome. And a good... what a treat. I should get them to sponsor this podcast.
Oreos,
if they're listening. Best of luck.
Thanks so much.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.